That's a great song. We're going to talk tonight about what does it take really to have God use you, to have Him work in your life, and what is probably the single biggest hindrance. I had an interesting experience this last week. I was at the pastor's conference for a Great Commission pastors, and we were in Indianapolis. And I had to go early because the first night I had to share, and it's such a long drive, I thought I'd leave the day before and get there a little early. So it was Sunday night, started Monday night, so I got down there Sunday afternoon, and it was later on Sunday night. I wasn't tired like I usually am, and I thought I'd kill a little time, so I don't have cable at home, so when I go to the motel, it has cable. So I'm flipping through the cable channel, and all of a sudden I come to the HD concerts, you know, high-definition concerts, right? I've never seen a high-definition concert, And they have one of those Vizio giant TV screens in my room, and it has great digital sound. And oh my gosh, of all people playing, it's the Rolling Stones. Yeah, wait till I tell you the story. So anyway, I've never seen the Rolling Stones. You know, I've heard their songs, and Mick and I are not that far apart in age. He's older, uglier, but what can I say? And so... So at first I didn't know, and there's this crowd of at least 100,000 people. And all of a sudden I hear this, "Start it up, start it up, start it up, start it up." And this cut-off shirt, this is only done 5 years ago, cut-off little shirt to right here like a girl, "Start it up." He's not even in time. He's not even singing in tune. And I'm like, I was floored. I was floored. Because we're talking next to U2, they have the single biggest sellout concerts of anyone. And it was pathetic. It was like, I believe in older people working, but Grandpa, you need to retire. It was sad. I mean, Keith Moon looked like a truck's run over him 1,000 times, can barely stand up playing his guitar. And Mick Jagger, I mean, I was just like, I have never seen such pomp and such oddity. I mean, it was just, and the crowd never sits down. They're standing up the whole time, and they're clapping in rhythm. And I was asking myself deep questions, as I do when I see spectacles like this. I asked myself, I wonder if the emperor realizes he has no clothes. I wonder if he's ever stopped to sit where I am and look at him on screen. And listen. And then I asked myself the question, what are all these imbeciles in the crowd who paid all the money? It's like 100,000 of them. And then I asked my question, Lord, what would cause a person to keep doing this way past their prime? I mean, because I'm just being really honest with you. I know music. These two here, I raised these musicians. We're musicians. I understand music. This was bad. It wasn't just that I don't like the music. I like, I can't get no. I know the song. I know the song. I know Angie. I know the song. But I'm like, look, this is just bad. I mean, it's off pitch. He can't finish the phrasing. His face is all wrinkled. He makes the weirdest face. I've never seen anything like it. And then. An epiphany moment. We're going to talk about this tonight. There is something more powerful than heroin. There is something more powerful than sex. It's called fame. It's called the praise of others. And Mick Jagger is in love with it. He cannot walk away from it. It is a rush, a drug. 100,000 people screaming your name, clapping your hands. You're almost ready to go in the casket, but you don't care. Because you're being adored and worshipped by thousands of people. And I was reminded as I drove home of a very profound passage in the book of John that I'd like to read to you. Because you might ask yourself, so Mark, what do I and Mick Jagger have in common? Actually, a lot more than you'd realize. And Jesus addresses this in the book of John when he's talking to the crowds, he's talking to the Pharisees, he's talking to his own disciples. I'll never forget, as a young Christian, when I first read this passage, it also had a profound impact on me. So Jesus has been talking. He's been talking about the fact that he was sent from God. And he's talking to the Jews in particular. Obviously, he was in Jewish city. He was Jewish. He came to the Jews. And he said this: "You investigate the scriptures because you suppose that you have eternal life in them. And yet they bear witness to me. Yet you do not want to come to me in order to have life. I reach for no human fame, but I know you. I know you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you welcome the praise that comes from one another and do not seek praise from the one and only God?" This phrase has gone over and over and over in my mind for about 36 years since I first read it and begun following Christ. Every one of us in this room, in one form or another, in one shade or another, to one degree or another, enjoy the praise of others. We have a new term for it. It's called people pleasing. We're people pleasers. We want to be liked. Now, you know, in America, we've taken it to a whole new level. And so you can think you can dance because you want to be famous. You go in The Biggest Loser because you might be famous. You go in American Idol because you might be famous. We got Survivor, you might be famous. Somebody might hear your name. We're in love with fame. And I'm going to make a little Facebook comment tonight. I think a lot of people, not everyone, on Facebook, it's all about me book, me book. Look at me. And I read some of the things. I go out there. I sneak around out there on Facebook. I don't have one. I have a secret code I can get on. Because I want to be aware of the world in which I live in. And I'm amazed at the flowery things. Oh my gosh, you look beautiful. Oh, you're stunning in that dress. You're stunning. Oh, you're beautiful. Everything. Have you ever noticed, unless it's, you know, a Mark Darling site, which is part of why I don't put it up. It's all positive. It's all, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're incredible, it's extraordinary. About five words, six words, over and over and over and over and over and over. We're in love without realizing it. We're addicted to the praise of others. It's an addiction. And Jesus is saying in this text, he's saying, how can you have a dynamic faith? How can you have meaningful faith in me when what matters more to you, what matters most to you in your life, is what others think of you and not what I think of you? What really gets you going are the pats on the back of other people. Did you know that the number one reason in a survey that was done, this was about 10 years ago, so it might be a little different now, but I doubt it. But about 10 years ago, they did this big survey of the reasons people leave their job. Right now, of course, nobody's trying to leave their job because they're so scarce. Number one reason: I didn't feel appreciated enough and valued. I didn't feel valued. I didn't feel appreciated enough. I didn't get enough strokes. I don't feel like enough people recognized what I was doing and my achievements. And so they leave. And I was really profoundly reflecting on this verse and how easy it is in our life to live for the praise of others, to want others to think well of us. And Jesus is saying to the Jews, he said, look, I can recognize that the love of God is not in you. You know why? Because you're in love with one another's praise. And if someone else comes in their own name, you worship them. And then I was just struck as I read that verse. I'm sorry, had to throw this in there. I just thought about Lady Gaga and her little monsters. She's got the most Twitter followers of anyone in the entire world. The woman is demented, sick. I could go on and on. I won't use the words that rightly describe this person. And the world will beat a drum. But man, they'll just beat right to her door, a path to her door, to worship Lady Gaga. But where are the people worshiping Jesus Christ? Because we want the praise of others. If someone comes in their own name, they offer nothing but garbage. What do? We worship them. But the one and only God, you see, it reveals the heart of man. You don't have the love of God in you. Jesus said to these people, if you had the love of God in you, if you love me, you'd worry about His praise and not whether or not your neighbor thought you were cool for being a Christian. You wouldn't be worrying about what your parents think because you're trying to follow Christ. You wouldn't be worrying about whether others know you're a Christian. You wouldn't worry about whether or not you stand up for what's right because you're a Christian. And so we come back to the heart of this issue. How can you have a dynamic faith? How can you have a faith? And if you read the Gospels, and I want to encourage you, I want to give you an assignment this summer to read the book of John. Read it at least once. If you can get through it more than once, read it twice or three times. Read the book of John. And over and over and over again, Jesus talks about faith. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he teaches disciples faith to pray and exhibit faith. But one of the things you have to understand at the heart of faith is you have to give up your people-pleasing ways. If you're going to honor God, you're going to have to decide that the praise and approval of God matters more to you than anybody else. Your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your friends, your so-called friends. It just kills me, Facebook friends. I recognize that there are people who have Facebook friends that are truly their friends. No greater love is a man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. But I'm just amazed at how shallow so many people's friendships really are. And yet here, Jesus Christ, he is telling us clearly, whose approval do you live for? Whose approval do you live for? You see, the Christian, God didn't create us really to be insecure. He created us to be secure in Him, in His love. We sang about tonight, His love. It's His love that gives us security. It's His love that gives us encouragement. It's His love that sees us through our most difficult days because we live for His approval. The Apostle Paul says something very similar. I don't know that there's been another Christian like the Apostle Paul, but I've read a lot of history, but I've obviously not read every history. But Paul obviously has his place in the Faith Hall of Fame. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul is writing and he's been sharing the gospel. And he says something to the Galatians. He says this, "I'm amazed that you are so readily turning away from Him, Christ, who called you by His grace to another gospel, which is really not another, except that some are troubling you and want to distort the good news concerning Christ. But even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel that differs from what we preach to you, a curse be on them. May they be damned to hell. As we said before and repeat right now, if anyone evangelizes you with a gospel that varies from us, what you have received, an eternal curse be on him." Then he says these words. "And now, am I trying to win men's favor or God's? Or do I seek to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I would not be a slave of Christ." I want that phrase to go over and over in your mind. If I was still pleasing men, if I am a people pleaser, you cannot be a servant of Christ. You cannot be. They're incompatible. You see, because when you walk and march to the beat of the divine drum, that drum is out of step with everyone else around you. And it's going to take a lot of courage for you when everyone's marching lockstep in time to march to the beat of a different drum. And you're going to stand out. And you're going to be a little odd. And you're going to get laughed at. And you're going to be maligned. And you're going to be taunted. And you're going to be overlooked. And you're going to be teased. And you're going to be ridiculed. But hey, who cares? In the end, who's judging this beauty pageant anyway? You see, God describes beauty in the opposite as Miss America or the Mr. Universe pageant. So they may look like they do, but guess what? Those judges aren't the judges. We have a different judge, you see. He judges on a different basis. He judges on different criteria. And that's what we always keep in mind. We live for the approval of God. We live to please and honor God. Real Christians This is the series we've been doing, Real Christians Think and Act Like Jesus. This is an area we must embrace like Jesus Christ. Jesus was human as we are. He was also divine. The Jewish people were much loved by God the Father. They were the chosen nation of God, of all the nations of the earth. Jesus Christ, of course, was born Jewish. The Bible says in John, he came into his own, and his own received him not. It does not mean he just came to his creation. It means he came to his very own people, the Jewish people. Did it tear at the heart of Jesus when he said, of course, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would have none of it. Did it hurt his heart? Absolutely. But did Jesus Christ allow that hurt to cause him to compromise his life and his message and his purpose? No, he did not. When Jesus' own brothers, as he had other brothers, Mary had other children. After Jesus was born, she and Joseph were like any other married couple. They slept together, they had other children, and Jesus' other brothers taunted him. Jesus did not allow their taunts to affect his self-image and his self-esteem. When the disciples did not understand Jesus, and when Jesus began to talk about his death, burial, and resurrection, and all the suffering he would go through at the hands of the leaders of the nation, Peter said, Lord, don't talk like that. Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan, for you have put your mind on the things of man and not on the interest of God. Jesus never lost his center. Peter, I march to the beat of a different drum. Peter, I'm living for God, not your opinion, Peter. Not the opinion of all the people around me. Did you know, really honestly, you can never really trust a person who lives for the praise of others. They'll compromise their morals. They'll compromise their integrity. They're always putting their finger in the wind, trying to find out where public opinion is or what their friends around them are doing. The only thing that keeps us truly centered and grounded and is an anchor to our soul and builds our faith is when we live for the approval of God, when we seek the praise that comes from God. I thought I'd just, in closing here a moment, read these to you in just a couple of different versions, because I always like different versions of the Bible simply because it gives a multifaceted, even more hard-hitting view of the text. This is from the Amplified Bible. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. But I know you, and I recognize and I understand that you have not the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name and with his power, and you do not receive me. Your hearts are not open to me. You give me no welcome. But if another comes in his own name and his own power and with no other authority but himself, you will receive him and give him your approval. How is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another, and yet do not seek the praise and honor and glory which come from the one who is God alone. When I was a kid, growing up, boxing was a real big deal in my family because my father had been a boxer. My father had a lot of fights. And so it's just kind of in our blood. Just kind of a violent group of guys, and we liked it, and we liked boxing. We used to watch it, but it was always sad to watch the Muhammad Ali's and the Marvin Haglers and the Thomas Hearns stay in the ring too long, and anybody in their right mind, any trainer, and the trainers knew, you're done, your skills are gone, retire at the peak of your game. I want to tell you there's only one reason and one reason alone why no man ever does. And the only reason Rocky Marciano did is because he died in a plane crash. Because men love the glory. They love the glory. They crave the glory. You get a taste of it. You walk into that crowd and they're chanting your name and you're the ring and you're a winner. And maybe you win and you win and then one night you lose and you want so bad to get back in. But your friends are telling you too old. You're past your prime. And then you start losing your brains. And then you start getting hit more and you start getting hit more. And then it's just a spectacle and it's just sad to watch. Because the drug of fame runs through our veins. And we want it. The flesh wants it. This is part of what Jesus said, meant when he said, unless you die to yourself, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And you know what's really tragic? I'm going to tell you what I think is really tragic. I see, and there have been a lot of articles written on this. I'm not the only one saying it. But the Christian world, the greater Christian world, the musicians, they become just a substitute. We've just found a substitute for the fame. You can see the same things happen with so many. Not every single one. There are a few, a minute few exceptions. And we've just created and Christianized the fame game. The fame game. The praise game. The honor game. Instead of taking becoming the servant of all. In the book of John, in the contemporary English version, it says, I don't care about human praise. But I do know that none of you love God. I have come with my Father's authority. And you have not welcomed me. But you will welcome people who come on their own. How could you possibly believe? You like to have your friends praise you. And you don't care about praise that the one and only God can give. And last from the Message Bible. I'm not interested in crowd approval. And do you know why? Because I know you and your crowds. I know that love, especially God's love, is not on your working agenda. I came with the authority of my Father, and you either dismiss me or avoid me. If another came, acting self-important, you would welcome him with open arms. How do you expect to get anywhere with God? When you spend all your time jockeying for position with each other, ranking your rivals and ignoring God. You see, when we follow Jesus Christ, we must learn to abdicate self. We must learn to abdicate self. And we must take on the attitude of Jesus Christ, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be clung on to, hung on to, but emptied himself of the glory and the fame and became a servant and was obedient and humbled himself through obedience to the point of death. That's the path of Christianity. That's genuine biblical Christianity. When we live in humility before God, when we live in humility before others, and is demonstrated through our servanthood, through our obedience to God, and through our willingness to march to the beat of a divine drum. And this is what our world so desperately needs. You see, as I told you when we started this series, a Christian literally means little Christ. We are little Christ. Not divine in the sense of we are like God. We are God, but we are like God. And we are to go about our lives wherever we are, representing Jesus Christ in the way in which we live. Imagine what the world would be like, what your light would be like if you and I lived for the honor and the praise of God. We would be uncompromising. We would be loving. We would be people of ethics and integrity. And I'm sad to tell you that the vast majority of Christians, in study after study after study, and I have the studies at home, have demonstrated through the answers they have given themselves in surveys to have hardly any Christians has any different moral behavior than non-Christians around them. The vast majority of Christians do not even read their Bible. You dishonor God when you do not read your Bible. It's his word to you and I. We dishonor him. It's like spitting in the face of God. It's ignoring God. It's the opposite of the fear of the Lord. How can you believe? How can you have a dynamic, life-changing, world-changing faith when you look for the praise of others? What motivates you and inspires you is the praise of others and not the praise that comes from the one and only God. And I want you to think about that this week. And I want to encourage you to begin the book of John. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we just readily acknowledge, Lord, to varying degrees, varying degrees in this room tonight, varying degrees in my own heart, we can easily long for the praise of others, for the honor of others, for the adoration of others. We can long for fame and glory. And Father, we just want to tell you tonight that in Jesus' name, all we want as we sang tonight is to clean out our closet. Let us be pleasing to you. Purify us, Lord. Purify us. Clean us out. Work in a powerful and profound way, Lord, in each and every heart in this auditorium tonight, that we might be the representatives that you long for us to be. We want to be like you, Jesus Christ. We want to be people who are like you in this spiritual way, who are like you in this psychological way, who do not long or crave the approval of others, but simply live by the book, to honor the book, to honor the living Word of God. And thereby, and in that process, we are living for your approval. So many Christians, Lord, we don't even know what it is you approve of and what you don't, because we've not been in the book. We've not devouring the book. Our heart is not sensitive to the voice of the book. And your Holy Spirit, you said, would take the book and take your words and remind us of them and speak them to us and teach them to us. Father, I just ask you that you would revolutionize our lives, that you would revolutionize my life, and that we would live for one thing alone, the praise and the honor of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.